Good to see everyone able to make it despite the fairly inclement weather. I think that holds some back, but we're glad that you're here. We're thankful for the presence of all. We're glad to see Amos Collier here today. He's here by himself. Aaron's not here. And that surprised me a little bit because I'm old. So when he showed up and, "You're by yourself." "Yes, I've been driving for a year." "Okay, that's..." Some people grow up, but he said the family's doing well. We miss them greatly, but we're happy that he's here with us today. Happy for an opportunity for us to study together a portion of God's Word. We're not actually going to have a particular text to study today, but we are going to be in the book of 1 Peter. So I would like you to turn there. We'll start off with about verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. While you're turning there, I do have one other announcement that needed to be made that I neglected to do just a moment ago. I wanted everyone to know that Presley Galbraith, Brittany's daughter, was baptized this last week in Lampasas. Her grandfather was able to baptize her. So we rejoice that another child of God has entered the kingdom, and we wanted to let everyone know about that. I think Brittany wanted us to announce that, and we're glad to do so. But it's always a joy to see the younger ones take their place in the kingdom. And they're all growing up quickly. Again, I'm old, but we're grateful that there is another generation that will take the place of the faithful when our time on this earth is over. It's a generational thing, we know that. And it's good to see when a new generation comes forth with faith and desire to serve God. What I want to do today is discuss for a few moments the descriptions of God's people as revealed by the Apostle Peter. Kind of interesting thing, the Apostle Peter actually uses a number of different phrases in his first epistle to describe the people of God, and each description gives us a different idea, a different thing to consider as we contemplate the responsibilities we have toward God and the privileges that we obtain, the blessings we obtain as a result of our faith in Him. It's not something that is uncommon in Scripture. If you want to understand the office of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Vine, all of those various things, the head of the church, the bridegroom, Christ is described in many ways in Scripture. The church itself, the body of believers, whether it be kingdom, branches, or church and others, the body, these are descriptions given of God's people. And whenever you have these multiple descriptions that are given, there are lessons that can be learned from each of them. And the Apostle Peter, again, has a certain number of descriptions given in the text that we're going to look at in our study today. And we want to just talk about them for a few moments this morning. So the first passage, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we are called to gird up the loins of our mind, be sober and rest our hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. So there is the first description that is given. And as he talks about us being obedient children, he says that we're not to conform ourselves to the former lusts, but as he who called you is holy, you also need to be holy in all of your conduct. It is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." I've been having some Bible studies with Emberly every week. And one of the things we talked about in our study this Romans the 12th chapter, we are told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 of the text, or verse 1, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's what the transformation is talking about here. The obedience as children has reference to, because what is the case with many who are not serving God as they ought is they're conforming themselves to the world, when in fact we are to transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind. It is a matter of will. It is not something that is miraculous. We diligently apply ourselves willfully to change our manner of living, the way we conduct ourselves. And no longer are we rebellious, no longer are we characterized by worldliness, but now we are obedient children. That obedience has various aspects of our lives where we talk about that, but here he is talking about The idea of turning away from the lusts that characterized your life before and instead living righteously in the sight of God, being holy because we have been sanctified by God as his children. I do want you to remember that, understand that. Now, not everyone in the world is a member of God's family. It is an interesting thing that it is characteristic of any who have any belief in God at all to refer to him as the Father. Now, Jesus had the right to refer to Jehovah God as the Father, he being the only begotten. We have the right as Christians to refer to God as Father because of our adoption as children into the family of God. That's what we are, obedient children to who? We are obedient to our Father. But an individual who has not entered into that relationship with God, he can call him his creator, he can call him his judge, he can call him the Almighty God of heaven, but he cannot rightly refer to him as a father in the sense of a familial relationship because he does not enjoy that if he is not an obedient child, if he's not a Christian. And that is something that sets us apart. And that is because we have been set apart by God, why we must be holy. So that's kind of the idea that we're getting with each of these descriptions. So let's go to the second one that is found this time in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter 2 and verses 1 through 3, where Peter says, laying all aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now you'll notice the same idea is established as in our first, that we are no longer to have characteristic of our lives things like malice, things like deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Those were the things of the world. But here, when we are told in the previous that we are to be obedient children, our minds being changed, here we see our minds are changed by God's word. Again, not miraculous in any way, nothing supernatural about it. It is divine, but God has determined to reveal himself through the simplest method, his words given to us in written form. And that makes it timeless. It makes it objective. God established his will for us in completeness 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago in its completeness. And so now 2,000 years have happened, but there has not been any change to God's will. It remains the same. But it also remains as applicable and as relevant in our day and time as it ever was. Because it is unchanging, because God is perfect. God is unchanging. And so it applies to us as much as it did before. And as a result of that, we are told we should have an ardent thirst and hunger for God's word. We're going to be discussing in our Hebrew class following in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, concerning the milk of the word, the rudiments of the gospel of Christ, as well as the solid food of the word that comes to those who have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So there is a progression, just as there is with a physical babe, but you have to start somewhere. And as a babe starts by nursing, by the mother's milk, we start with regard to the milk of the word, those first principles that bring us salvation, and then we progress as time goes on and we mature. But we need to thirst, we need to hunger so that we can have that sustenance that is needed for us to grow. The next one is in 1 Peter chapter 2 as well, in verse 5 of the text, where he calls us, and here's one that we're not going to discuss, he calls us living stones, being built up as a spiritual house. But notice the second description that is given here. There are actually several other descriptions that are given in addition to a spiritual house that we'll look at in just a few moments that we're not going to address fully, but the idea of a holy priesthood. And again, this does segue somewhat into our Hebrew class because we're talking about Christ as our high priest. That's what we're going to be emphasizing in our discussion in verses 10 through 15 of Hebrews chapter 5. No, I'm sorry, 5 through 10 in Hebrews chapter 5 in our study today. But we're talking about Christ as the appointed high priest of God in this covenant. He is both king and priest after the priesthood of Melchizedek. But we are called a holy priesthood. Now, I want you to just think back, because I think a parallel can be made here between the Old Testament and New Testament, where you had the high priest, but he was not the only one. For example, with regard to Aaron and his sons, you'll remember his sons were actually put to death because as priests, they were not serving God acceptably. But they were not high priests. Nevertheless, they were priests appointed in the service of the brethren, the children of Israel. And we too are a holy priesthood, which indicates, again, the concept of sanctification. It indicates that we have a responsibility in the affairs of God, in bringing God to other men, and ministering to one another as members of the church. It's not something that is delegated to a precious few. Everyone who obeys the gospel of Christ becomes priest. Christ is our high priest, but we are members of a priesthood, just like those in the tribe of Levi had individuals appointed as priests, though there was only one high priest. And so I think it's kind of an interesting imagery for us to have. But this does indicate, again, the access that we have to God. It's something that Israelites did not enjoy by and large. The priests were appointed for the purpose of serving in the things of God on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the people. But now all of us are of service in the kingdom of God, in the affairs of God, as a holy priesthood under this new covenant. So we are to be set apart, holy, in our service to God. It's something that is important, something we need to keep in mind. The third one is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 of the text. It's interesting how often he uses a different phrase to describe the people of God. He says, "You're a chosen generation." Again, not one that we'll discuss in detail, but another description. Then he says, "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people." An interesting thing about that royal priesthood, again, not something we're discussing in detail, but the fact that Jesus Christ is the royal high priest. He is both king and priest. Our priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek as we serve in this new covenant as holy priests, but we're royal priests as well. We are given access to the kingdom of heaven as citizens in that kingdom when we proclaim the great joy that we have in that. But he says here specifically, a holy nation and his own special people. A holy nation. So holiness, specialness is something we need to keep in mind. Do you realize that you're different from the world if you're a child of God? And might I say, because it is often not said this way, but you are better in a sense as a result of the relationship you sustain with God. Not because of any merit on your part, but because you have been chosen through the gospel to be separated from the world in service to Him. And so you have precious responsibilities, but precious benefits that come as a result of that relationship with God that the world does not enjoy. So to put it individually, I would have much more of a preference to be special in the eyes of God than not. I would much more have the preference to be separated by God from the unwashed in the world than not. Why is that? The position that I hold, the blessings that come to me, accrue to me, spiritual blessings, all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. Everything is better about a relationship that I sustain with the Creator of the universe if I become one of His adopted children than if I do not. And so I think that we need to understand the special nature of our relationship and not take it for granted. We are separated from the world. We're different from the world, which again, it gives us blessings and privileges, which is where most Christians place their emphasis and their focus, but it also gives us various responsibilities. That as this special group, we are to be as special, holy. We're to be set apart as righteous. We're set apart as righteous, so we're to act righteously. Let's put it that way. As a result of that, we have obligations as a result of that relationship that we have with God. And so, again, just wonderful descriptions that are given of the type of people that we are to be as God's children. And then we get to the two final ones that we're going to mention. The first one in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, and then we'll go to chapter 5 for the final one. But in chapter 2 and verse 11, we are told by the Apostle Peter, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Sojourners and pilgrims. So what does that mean? Well, have you ever done it? I know that Tommy has. Have you been to Poland yet? Okay, he's been to Poland. So he was a sojourner and pilgrim in Poland for a while because he doesn't belong there. He belongs here with us. But he spends time among them, those who are citizens of Poland, to give his work a chance to be helpful to them. And he spends that week away from his people, that is, citizens of the United States, that is, members of this congregation, all of those things. And he spends time away, but he comes back because this is where he belongs. Well, as Christians, we don't belong on this earth. And using this imagery that we find here, we are here for a period of time, 40 years, maybe more if we're lucky. So we are here for a while, and then in eternity, things are different. We're going to be either in the presence of God or not. But those who are God's children will be in the presence of God. So we have to consider that we don't belong here. I was talking again with Emberly. We ranged over a number of different subjects as we talked the other day. But something brought us to the idea of someone who approaches death prematurely. And we all worried about that. We don't want to leave this earth early. But when we talk about eternity and we try to put a time scale on, and I got my fingers as close together as I can about a short life, and then try to explain, because it's hard for me to understand what eternity is about, from the beginning to no end, or from no beginning to no end, and that compared to this is far different, and we know that God is concerned with this more than he is with that. So he gives us this testing time, this opportunity to show ourselves faithful to him so that we can be in his presence forever. And I want you to think about that when it comes to sanctifying yourself. Many of these have that same principle of holiness and separation in them in the descriptions that are given, because he's talking about a people who are just that. They are the special people. They are the ones that God has chosen through the gospel. And as we consider that, we need to recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I love that song. And that's the reason, because that gives our minds that focus that we need to recognize that this is not our home. We don't belong here. And then we get to the final one as we draw our lesson nearing to a close in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, this passage is different in that the Apostle Peter here is talking to elders, and he is telling the elders to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. So here is a specific admonition given to elders about the congregation over which they oversee, or the over which they have that position as pastor or bishop or elder. But you'll notice there in that second verse, there is something to be said for the flock. Flocks need shepherds. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and ultimately he leads us. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. But we do have offices that are given in the church. The reason for those offices is because not everyone has the maturity and the abilities that elders have to protect, to teach, to feed. And as a result of that, they have an important place because it is needed. In other words, God designed it for the purpose of shepherding, of directing, of protecting the flock of God, indicating by its very nature that the flock of God needs such direction and needs such protection. And so think of that. You as a child of God have God's protection, but you have a responsibility to understand how vulnerable you are in the world to ensure, one, whenever it is appropriate, that you submit to those who have oversight over you. We're given that explanation in that direction in Hebrews chapter 13, to be submissive to those who have the headship or the oversight over you. They serve God in this, and we should not act in rebellious ways in those things, but also that in that vulnerability that God has directed them so that you might grow. When we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and the office, Ephesians 4 and the offices that are given in the church, the apostles and the elders and the teachers and the preachers, the evangelists, the purpose of that is so that we all will grow. We all will be edified until we become perfect. And the word perfect, telios, has reference to completion. We'll be fully grown. We'll be mature. We will no longer be obedient children, but rather the mature child of God who is submissive wholly to God and His will. And that is what we need to understand with regard to that phrase as it applies to us. We need guidance, we need protection, we need help. We will always need those things, especially from God Himself. But it is possible as we take advantage of those things that we ourselves will become less vulnerable and we will grow stronger. And so as we draw this lesson to a close, that's the idea that we want to share with you and we would like for you to remember, is look at the descriptions and seek to examine yourself in light of what Peter described you as being, as children of God, as obedient children, as the flock, as pilgrims, as sojourners, as a holy or royal priesthood, as a special people. Does that describe you well? Because if it doesn't, then there is something that is amiss, something that needs to be dealt with. And of course, we talked about elders, but it is the responsibility. Hebrews 10 tells us this, that we come together for the express purpose of edifying one another, building one another up. And so it is possible that you could use the help of your brethren. And the wonderful thing about this family, as most families of God in most places, say families of God, there is one full family of God, but individually in local congregations, it's almost always the case that people want to help, that there will not be judgment, there is no need for embarrassment, there will only be the expression of love if indeed you express your desire to be helped. And that is one of the primary reasons why we offer the invitation every Lord's Day. Every time I get up in this pulpit, I think I would be remiss if I did not give an opportunity as we talk about these things to help someone who is moved by them. So if you're not a child of God, if there is something that is missing in your life, something that you need to change with regard to your Christian service, some encouragement that you need, if there is anything that we can help you with, we offer the invitation at this time.